Welcome to The Best of Charlotte, a podcast featuring the best small businesses and the most influential professionals in Charlotte, North Carolina. Each week, we'll bring you a new interview with those small business owners and professionals that are making a big impact here in the Charlotte area. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the show.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to the Best of Charlotte podcast. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. We share conversations with the best and brightest entrepreneurs, small business owners, and leaders of nonprofit organizations, all doing their amazing work right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. For our loyal listeners, welcome back to the podcast. We have so many amazing new guests joining the podcast this year, and I just can't wait to share these conversations with you. Speaking of amazing guests, I'm honored to be joined in this episode by Kiva Walton, the Chief Executive Officer of the Mecklenburg County Alcoholic Beverage Control Board. Mr. Walton brings decades of leadership experience to the Mecklenburg ABC Board, including leadership roles with organizations like the City of Charlotte, the YMCA of Greater Charlotte, Goodwill Industries, Charlotte Chamber of Commerce, and the Charlotte Regional Business Alliance Organization. He holds a bachelor's degree in urban and regional planning from East Carolina University and a master of public administration from University of North Carolina at Charlotte. During our conversation, Kiva details how his amazing career led him to the Mecklenburg County ABC Board and shares details about the role the board plays in the community at large. We also discuss how the Mecklenburg County ABC Board has reinvested and continues to reinvest in the Charlotte area community. We're going to talk about some really impressive numbers here. In addition, Kiva offers some sage advice for our audience to consider while navigating their own career journey, along with some great reading recommendations. Finally, Kiva shares a powerful message with us about leadership and the guiding principles that have shaped his successful career. Listeners, thanks as always for joining us. It is my honor to introduce you to Kiva Walton, the CEO of the Mecklenburg County ABC Board. Kiva, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Jeff. How are you? Thanks for having us, having me.
Absolutely. I'm doing great, and it's great to connect with you. I've been looking forward to this conversation and talking about your journey and how your career has led you to the Mecklenburg County ABC Board, and just really looking forward to diving in. I mean, we can spend hours talking about your career. You've had an amazing career. Share for the listeners just a little bit of a bio on you, a little bit of a background, hometown education, and I realize it's tough, but a quick overview of kind of where you've been before this point.
Yeah, well, I'm a Raleigh native and grew up in Raleigh and East Carolina University undergrad, go Pirates, down in Eastern North Carolina, and UNC Charlotte Graduate School, which go Niners. So I'm a proud product of the UNC system. I started my career as an urban and regional planner. That was my undergrad major. Started out in Southern Pines, North Carolina, came to Charlotte with the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Planning Commission, which was really, as I look back, just a phenomenal time to come. That was 1986. And Charlotte was really starting to evolve. And the Planning Commission at that time was in the middle of everything from transportation network, regionalism, recodifying the zoning regulations such that we have the uptown that we have now. And so I couldn't have orchestrated a better way to begin a career. And I tell everybody the uptown and the Charlotte you see today is the result of 30 plus years of vision and planning. And that was just an amazing time to arrive. And so from there, certainly with the city organization and a lot of different roles, ended up going to the YMCA of Greater Charlotte as an exec, which it was North Charlotte then, now it's NOTA. I saw that transition. And that was a great experience to renovate that branch and help jumpstart the coming back around of that neighborhood. There, a couple of years, Goodwill Industries as their VP of workforce for the region, which was awesome because, again, they were redefining their role in the workforce development space. And so I got the opportunity to join in there and help create that. Was there, 8 years or so, had the opportunity to join the Charlotte Chamber. And did a lot of stuff there, which was just a great experience. And got the chance to be with some of the best and brightest business minds in the region. And my last role there was the chief growth officer around economic development, public policy, and workforce development. And then an opportunity arose at Beck County ABC, and the rest is history, as they say.
Your tenure with the Charlotte Chamber really interested me when mm-hmm. I saw that. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, we connect with a lot of most of who we connect with on this production are local entrepreneurs and small mm-hmm. business owners, everywhere from freelancers to CEOs. Yep. And so I was really excited when I saw that. So and that's something else we could talk a lot more about. Yeah. But you've seen tremendous. I mean, anyone who's been in Charlotte for 30 years has seen tremendous growth and expansion with this city. What? How long have you been with the Mecklenburg County ABC?
Again, couldn't have orchestrated this better at the height of the pandemic, June 8th, 2020. So almost 3 years. And it's been quite a great learning experience for sure.
What were some of, you know, I didn't prep you for this question, but yeah. It brings up a good topic. What were some of the challenges that Mecklenburg County ABC board faced during the pandemic?
Like, oh, my goodness.
I'm sure there were probably dozens, if not hundreds, right?
Well, you know, like, and maybe we're a little different or similar to everyone else, but everything landed at our front doorstep. Mm-hmm. Supply chain disruption, everything from glass to plastic to cardboard, driver shortages, trying to keep every store open with a pandemic raging and through the organization. And honestly, with a lot of people staying at home, increased consumption. And mm-hmm. so we were dealing with all of that came to fruition, and we were deemed essential, ironically, at the height. So the doors were always open, and we went through multiple iterations of counter store, one person in, one person out, 10 people in, 10 people out, 25 until finally we opened. But it was really challenging, quite frankly, just keeping the doors open and having enough staff that weren't exposed to the COVID-19 virus. And like I said, then it was, you know, very publicly, obviously, the supply chain disruption creating kind of shortages on our shelves and people being very unhappy about their favorite spirit not being available. And you know, it all collided together at that one time.
It truly touched every industry, didn't it? Yep. It just, and I remember, and I would agree that the Mecklenburg County ABC was essential and still is.
We thank you for your support.
But I remember seeing the, you know, the supply shortages on the shelves during visits, and it really is. Continues to just astonish and amaze me how the pandemic really did affect every single part of our lives and every industry that you can think of.
Yeah. And, you know, I always say to my team is like, why waste a crisis? And so this really represented a great opportunity while we were needing to be quick on our feet and nimble and make adjustments. It was also great learning. And as a result of that, we've retooled and are retooling a number of aspects of our business. And I hope and trust that I think everybody had to do it to a point. Now we're at a point of trying to be much more intentional with what we learned coming through that.
Eva, I have my sort of assumptions of the role that the Mecklenburg County ABC board plays. I'm not 100% sure that my assumptions are accurate. Can you share? And I think that a lot of people may wonder and have some misconceptions about what the board, the role the board plays.
Yeah.
Can you shed some light on that?
Sure, sure. Well, let's go back to Prohibition.
No, let's not.
Yeah, good one, good one. The whole construct evolved post-Prohibition and the desire to giving that decision back to states on how to distribute, sell spirituous liquor. And so every state, whether it's called private or controlled, I hate that word controlled, wrong connotation, it should be managed. Every state has some governing authority at the state level over alcohol. The question is, who gets to distribute that at a retail local level? In some states, our neighbors to the south, it's, quote, privatized. So any vendor who applies can sell the spirituous liquor. In North Carolina, and North Carolina was really very, and Mecklenburg even more so, strategic and forethoughtful. North Carolina is set up that each, we can have individual boards. And I think it's important for people to know that we are quasi-governmental. So we are our own entity. We are governed by the auspices of state legislation. The Board of County Commissioners at Mecklenburg appoint board members, but Mecklenburg County ABC Boards is its own entity within itself. And with that, so Mecklenburg said, well, you know, conceivably, we're going to have one board. But what we're going to do with that one board is we're going to set up, some people refer to it as an annuity of sorts, you know, because we can't keep profits. There's a threshold on what we can keep. But we want that money to go back into our communities. And so we invest back into the city of Charlotte, Mecklenburg County, and the public library. In addition to that, you know, the state statutes also dictate investment in public safety and alcohol education. And so annually, this board invests a significant amount of dollars back into the community. We're in the process now with our grants process for a grassroots organization that provides substance abuse treatment and education and prevention. Last year, that number was over $1 million just in grants alone. We are looking to double that this year. Somewhere in that process, this board founded the Chemical Dependency Center, which is now Anuvia. And we continue to make an annual investment in that. So again, North Carolina was very strategic in saying, let's have boards, let's have them be somewhat self-governing. Again, there's an appointment of a overarching board. But we make investments back into the county and the small towns. Let me not forget them, because they get a piece of the profits that roll through. So, that's a very, very, very important distinction. I would say in the private sector, privatized communities, there is no or very limited community investment. Those dollars go back to the owner and or shareholders. And I think that could be a very missed nuance. And we're working with our good friends over at Bogues Group, helping us kind of rectify that misunderstanding.
I really wasn't aware of the tremendous reinvestment that the ABC board makes into the community. That is an important distinction when you compare the way that North Carolina, the spirits are distributed and sold in North Carolina versus states where it's a privatized system. Yeah. I think it's really worth noting. I mean, it's a big distinction and it's a huge benefit to the way it's done in North Carolina in my eyes. Mm-hmm. compared to other states.
In 75 years, we've just celebrated 75 years of existence. We've invested well over $100 million. back into the citizens and of Mecklenburg County for alcohol education. And let's not forget the public safety aspect. We have a law enforcement department. They do a lot of education around underage drinking and consumption as well. They are fully sworn officers. And they do a lot of community engagement with youth. They're in CMS. They're in some charter schools, helping young people really understand the dangers of addiction. And so, you know, as one of my colleagues said, we're so much more than just the bottle.
Yeah. Well, there's a tremendous amount of responsibility that goes along with the commerce of alcohol. So, yeah, absolutely. $1 million in grants last year and potentially going to double that this year. That would be an amazing achievement.
Yep.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that. I think that's really important for our audience and for the public in general to kind of understand that distinction and that role that the board plays. And while I'm thinking about it, I do give shout outs to local businesses in these episodes occasionally. I wasn't going to put you on the spot to do that today, but I do want to thank personally Brittany Bogues, the founder over at the Bogues Group, for connecting us. So you did mention that they were helping with some PR initiatives. So that's wonderful. And big thanks to her and her team. Kiva, we're recording on February 2nd, 2023. And February, of course, is Black History Month. And I'm going to kind of digress a little bit and ask you sort of a personal question. And this is something that I know that we could spend a lot of time discussing. But in the context of this conversation, could you share for our listeners what it means to you personally to be a Black leader in Charlotte?
Well, you know, you're right. Big question, heavy question. And let me just first say, I take it very seriously because so many, I did not just get here on my own. There are generations of folks who have died, prayed, worked to provide me and us the opportunity to be in roles such as this. And so that's never far away from me. You know, my parents, my grandparents, and we all have that legacy, certainly in this country. With that said, you know, and the great progress that has been made, there is much, much more to be had. Charlotte is a great, great city. One of the things that I was proud of during, one of many things I was proud of during my time with its chamber was we created an opportunity to grow and accelerate the growth of minority-owned businesses in partnership with corporate America. And there's still a great need for our presence in various settings. The mayor has a major initiative underway to kind of raise the consciousness of that. And so for me, that's a big part of who I am. I went to the chamber in essence as their chief diversity officer, and had the opportunity to work again with some really great corporate leaders who this wasn't just a checkbox. This was built into the DNA. And so we began to work on a series of things. And actually, the Alliance is still running the program called Emerging Business Leaders. And the intention of that initiative was, how do we find and seek and grow diverse leadership? And diverse meaning in the broadest sense. Age, gender, orientation, the whole nine. And I'm proud to see that that work still continues. So while there are great strides, there's still much to be had here. I shared an article with my team this week about growing your career. And it really speaks about inclusion in leadership. And it talked about kind of four core areas that round out your career building. And one was experience, knowledge, creativity, and wisdom. And the power of inclusion and diversity really is around those experiences and knowledge. because your experiences and knowledge base is different from mine. And when we collapse those and bring them into a space, we strengthen the capability and the capacity of any organization, as well as expanding the cultural competence of us all. And I know that may sound a bit pie in the sky for some, but I really believe that. And I'm blessed to be here. I stand on the shoulders of my parents. And like I said, all those before me, I was watching the story about Dot Count Scoggins. And for anyone to have to endure that kind of hate is unimaginable now, but that was real. And that wasn't too long ago. And we can never forget that. I know, you know, depending on one's perspective, people may see that differently, but it means added value. Those experiences and knowledge that I, as a Black leader, bring add value. So as does the experiences and knowledge that anyone else would bring into an organization. So sorry for the long-winded thing, but I tried to put it in a package. But again, suffice to say, we've got more work to do.
Well, no apologies necessary. That was really, really well said. And you somehow were able to take this this spot that I put you on and really just kind of encapsulate a really tremendous message. So thank you very much for that,
sure,
Kiva.
Sure. Thank you for the question. I appreciate you being direct about that.
Absolutely. During that message, you mentioned a little bit about elevating careers and local businesses and entrepreneurial opportunities. And I wonder if, and I'm kind of rearranging my topics here a little bit, so forgive me, but I'm going to jump into the question of any advice for, especially for younger listeners who are, again, your career has been amazing and you continue to lead an amazing career and life. What advice would you have for someone who's kind of maybe in their mid-20s and sort of you know, launching their own career and they're beginning this journey? What sort of advice would you have had for 25-year-old Kiva?
Well, it's so interesting. I used to be 25. now I'm a really old dude, but it's all good. I'm good with that. You know, it's interesting. I have a daughter who's 27, and we spend a lot of time as she's navigating a career. And again, it's just a different season. And I will say that this new millennial crowd, they see the world different, as they should. But I do think there's some base things. And, I even tell my teams this, no matter what age, I call them the big four. And I stress to my daughter this all the time. If you do nothing else in your career, be the person who follows up, follows through, over-communicates, and listens. And if you practice those regularly, and as I've look back at my career and the things that I've been told that I was good at or that helped me excel, it was those things. And, it just helps you, in my opinion, stand head and shoulders above the rest. And just by being that person who's making sure the dots are connected. So big four is big. The other thing I just think is I had a mentor at the city of Charlotte and someone I thought the world of. This person told me, she said, Kiva, always be ready. You never know when an opportunity is going to show up. And it came after I was disappointed about a role that I didn't get. And talking to this senior leader, and the advice was always be ready. And amazingly, like 2 or 3 months later, a new opportunity arose and I think kind of launched my career. So always be ready. But that whole thing about, and don't underestimate creativity. You know, creativeness isn't just the visual performing arts. It's how you think and approach problem solving. It's EQ. It's how you relate to people and teams. So the whole bringing a new perspective, and that kind of goes hand in hand with the change dynamic. You know, you've got to be flexible. I mean, our world goes at lightning speed right now. And if you can't, you know, bend and flex with the tide, you won't be in the flow.
Yeah, absolutely. You really have to be adaptable now more than ever, for sure, because things do change so rapidly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, absolutely.
Follow up, follow through, over communicate, and be someone who listens. If you can master those basics, you're going to go far, aren't you?
And I don't care what field of endeavor you are in. I mean, because you become an organizational asset. You help connect the dots. You help ensure that the ball doesn't get dropped in between, you know, just the normal rigors of daily life in an organization.
That's excellent advice. I really appreciate you sharing that. Sure. That's great advice for whether you're 25 or 48 like me.
There you go. So. There you go. There you go.
Kiva, I've found that leaders tend to be readers, and I'm curious if you have any reading recommendations. I'm sure, again, numerous recommendations, but are there a couple that kind of stand out that would check a lot of boxes?
Yeah, I love the discipline of leadership, and I actually collect all these little leadership quotes. I've got a ton of them that I pull out every once in a while, and I'll send staff some on occasion. But, you know, two or three that strike me, and, you know, I hope you, regardless of your religious affiliation or not, one of the best leadership books I've ever read is called Jesus CEO. And again, regardless of your religious affiliation, I learned that book when I was at the Y. And again, a mentor there, the CEO, introduced us to that book. And it just the principle of leadership and how, again, whether you believe in that or not, how those are applied in daily situations. Love that book. I always preface it, but I tell people, if you want a good leadership read, that's it. The other one that I've told my daughter, Simon Sinek, Start With Why.
Oh, yes.
Fundamental, fundamental, fundamental. And Who Moved My Cheese? It never gets old. Never gets old. We live it daily. The pandemic, if you didn't believe your cheese was moved, you didn't live through the pandemic.
Start With Why, Simon Sinek. So I am a huge fan, as millions of others are.
Yep.
That's a great recommendation. I won't go off on my Simon Sinek fan tangent here, but Jesus CEO, that's a new title for me. I haven't, that's a new recommendation, a new title. I wasn't familiar with that title. It's one that just open it with an open mind, right?
Yep. Yeah. It's not about a belief, but about the principle and the application of the principle.
Who Moved My Cheese was recommended by another guest on the podcast last year. And, who's a really highly successful entrepreneur, and I haven't read that yet. I need to read it. And now this is the second time it's been recommended, so I will definitely add that to the library.
My senior team, we periodically will pick a book and read it together, and discuss it and refer to it. So, Begin With Why was one of those books, and Who Moved My Cheese? I mean, when I first came, I did these series of fireside chats with the entire organization, kind of talking about where we were going and what was happening around us. And there was a little out there on the web, there's some great little 20 minute little video vignettes that encapsulate the whole story. And so our whole organization by now has read and or is familiar with that book.
I'll definitely pick it up. getting back to Simon Sinek and start with why, what I will do in the show notes for this episode, I'll have a link to his TED Talk, that seminal TED Talk from, I want to say it was, 2008, 2010, somewhere in that area. And it, I think it preceded the book, but it really kind of launched his Start With Why movement. It's definitely, for anyone that hasn't seen it, it's worth, that's a good place to start. So I'll have that in the show notes. How about anything on the 2023 agenda? You mentioned this goal to achieve basically double the amount of grants in 2023. What else is on the agenda?
Yeah, well, keeping hope alive, and we don't know what other curveballs are out there coming our way. But, you know, I've been saying to our team a lot, you know, my whole time here has been focused on responding and trying to anticipate which way the puck is going because of the pandemic. It's been much more reactive. So I'd say the first thing is really trying to be more thoughtful, strategic, and intentional about direction. We've kind of laid out kind of a 12 to 18 month strategic framework with our board and our senior team, and we're rolling that out across the organization. And we're doing some market research. Happy to say that UNC Charlotte School of Business is doing some data analytics market, because post-pandemic, well, we know that we're in a very progressive market in the Charlotte region. And we cannot assume that the market will stay the same. So we're taking a look at the market. So what does that mean for us in 3, 5, 10 years? What kind of new stores, what new locations, new ways to better serve our customers are? Where's the growth going? What do the demographic trends say? So that's a big piece of work that's coming. We're looking at, you know, recasting our mission, vision, and values kind of tied to that. We're looking at our physical infrastructure. We've got people in conference rooms, in the back of conference rooms. So we've got that coming. And so that the big strategic focus is a big thing. And I, as one, and, you know, we've done a lot of work, again, coming out of COVID on customer engagement on the retail side and on the mixed beverage permitting side. And I'm really proud of our team. We're spending a good bit of time talking to our mixed beverage permitting customers. How can we be a better, because they're all small businesses in many regards. And, you know, I say all the time, we're a part of a bigger ecosystem, the hospitality tourism ecosystem. And our swim lane is to help that system continue to thrive. And so we're spending a lot of time there around customer engagement and listening and talking. We've brought online a new store that is intended to service the mixed beverage community solely. We may bring another of those online in the northern part of the county. And then, you know, one thing I'm determined we're going to launch this. When I came in, you know, the world was driven by Amazon and home delivery or you know, just online ordering. So we were able to, there was some legislation passed that now gives us permission to do online ordering. Now, the home delivery part, that's a whole nother story. But so we've invested in the technology, and there will be an app where you can order your product online. It will still be in-store curbside, but you can make your purchases online. And again, we've got to serve a broad swath of customers. Some folks really like coming into store browsing. Mm-hmm. Others want to, you know, get it and move on. So we're working the kinks out. Again, every location won't have it just simply because of physical logistics in terms of parking requirement, back of store storage. But we are hopeful in the next first quarter here, end of the first quarter, to have a pilot up and running. So we're a little busy.
Yeah, it sounds like it. That's exciting. The online store technology, that'll be that. And I'm sure there's a lot of challenges to navigate in the spirit industry for the board to navigate. Yeah. But that's really exciting. You mentioned three of my favorite words, by the way: thoughtful, strategic, and intentional. And that really hit home for me. So I just wanted to mention that.
It's so so much of our existence, particularly the past 3 years, have been the opposite of that. I mean, mm-hmm. just out of pure survival, we had to pivot constantly. Now, you know, I love the old Gretzky quote, we're trying to skate to where the puck is going. And with the intelligence we gather from the pieces that we're assembling, I feel confident we'll have the ability to make a more intentional and thoughtful set of decisions about growth and service.
Well, it sounds like 2023 is going to be a big year for Mecklenburg County ABC and for Kiva Walton, for sure. You've got a lot going on in 23, and it's going to be an exciting year. And I wish you and the board all the success, for sure.
Thank you.
Kiva, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule for joining the podcast. This is really an honor to meet you and to be able to have this conversation to share with our listeners. So really can't thank you enough for joining the podcast and sharing a little bit of your story and a little bit of some facts about the Mecklenburg County ABC board for our listeners.
Well, thank you for having me, Jeff, and launching this podcast. I'm serious. I love giving the small business, because nonprofits are small businesses, and giving them a voice and finding community is big. And again, in a place like Charlotte, where large financial is prevalent, and that's a good thing. That's not a criticism by any stretch. And we have to help the oak trees are great, but let's let some sunlight in so we can get some organic growth on the ground.
Absolutely. Yeah, yep. I appreciate that. Yep. Kiva Walton, the CEO for the Mecklenburg County ABC Board. Kiva, thank you again for joining the podcast.
Thank you, sir. Keep up the great work.
Big thanks to Kiva Walton for joining the podcast. Friends, you can learn more about Mecklenburg County ABC Board at mecabc.com. I'll have that link in the show notes, of course, along with links to that Simon Sinek TED Talk that I mentioned and the books Kiva recommended. As always, you can find the complete show notes for all of our episodes at the home of Charlotte's number one small business podcast, www.thebestofclt.com. If you'd like to offer some feedback on our production or recommend a local Charlotte business owner for the podcast, I'd love to hear from you. Go to our contact form on thebestofclt.com, or you can send me an email directly at jeff@epicjourneymedia.com. That's Jeff, J-E-F-F, at epicjourneymedia.com. Okay, friends, that's going to do it for this episode. Thanks so much for joining us. We have another episode on the way in just 2 weeks, and I sincerely hope you'll join us again for a listen. So until then, cheers, Charlotte. Bye for now.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of The Best of Charlotte. Please consider subscribing to the podcast to stay up to date on our weekly episodes and leave us a review. Until next time, cheers, Charlotte.